Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm joined today by Chris Hutton. Let's get into the first news story of today. Now, there's been a bit of a debate that's broken out in the city of Johannesburg around the appointment of members of the Johannesburg Metropolitan Police Force. The new mayor of Johannesburg, Donna Moreira, has suggested that there may be a focus on hiring more foreigners to be part of South Africa's Johannesburg's Metro Police Force, because the mayor explained that there's very often issues in policing the foreigner immigrant communities in some parts of the city, because the police simply do not speak the same languages as some of the immigrant communities that they have to deal with. This has created a little bit of backlash from various sectors, from former MMCs of police, both from the DA and also from the ANC, who have said that rather than hiring foreigners, that the focus should be on specialized units and changing the way the police are run. But what interests me about the story, Chris, is it's kind of a little bit of, I think, of a silly framing. Obviously, there's some need in the Joburg Metro Cops to have people who can translate from languages that are not official languages of South Africa. There are quite a few foreign people who are residents in South Africa, in Johannesburg. But surely the answer here is better management of the police and hiring based on merit. I mean, if you simply hire the people you need to do the job based on the skills they have, shouldn't really matter whether they're, born in another country, have the wrong skin color, whatever you want. What do you make of the story?
No, I think you're exactly right. If you don't have the right people appointed for the right reasons in positions that work with each other and the institution itself doesn't function well, that partly feeds into what we've seen over the last 10 to 15 years, the declining level of trust between citizens and institutions like the JMPD and the police, South African Police Service in general. So if your focus is just on these sort of stopgap measures, maybe political point scoring, rolling back very quickly as the mayor did based on the reaction, it says more about, I think, attempts at political expediency and sort of short-termist plugging the holes in a sinking ship versus what are the principles or the policies or the legislative changes we need to make to ensure that this institution gets better capacitated and is strengthened over time. So then regardless of however many mayors or city councils Johannesburg has by, let's say, 2026, the next local government elections, or in 2029, the next national elections, and based on the track record, there will be many, that those institutions are being invested in, the human capital is being built, the skills, etc., etc. Not to say you can't bring in some element of foreign or overseas expertise, maybe look at where there were high crime rates, high levels of hijacking, issues that businesses and citizens in Joburg have to deal with. Look at elsewhere in the world where that has been dealt with. Can you bring in some of those, the skill sharing, the knowledge, and go from there, but also sort of learn from within the country, which municipalities and metros are doing better with dealing with crime in the context of also constrained resources. The city of Joburg, massive overruns in terms of deficits, in terms of infrastructure spending, electricity, water, never mind now having to find money to either employ experts from wherever. I think there's so much basic work that could be done that it's not particularly sexy. So then you look for these stopgap measures and then you have to roll back the whole time.
Exactly. And, having some sort of populist fight about what sort of percentage of our police forces are, supposed to be foreigners or something, I think is a complete distraction from, as you say, getting some of those basic fundamentals right. Making sure, as I said at the beginning, that you hire the best person for the best job, the best person who's suited for each job. And that's the first step on the road to making sure that our police system actually works, unlike the current situation. Okay, so we recently covered on the show the firing of a large number of members of parliament from the MK party, which kind of seems to have taken a lot of people by surprise, especially the people who were fired. And now we've gotten a look at who MK seems to be bringing in to replace the MPs that they fired. And there are some people like Brian Malefe and Lucky Montana. So it really does look like there's actually a couple of sort of SOE connected CEOs and such on this list. One gets a distinct impression that MK is only further solidifying its place as being the sort of hub of everyone from the Zuma era who is now no longer at the patronage trough. I don't know. What do you make of this?
Look, trying to make sense of it from a maybe a sort of party organizational or institutional point of view, if you don't have the sort of central force that is former President Zuma that he currently occupies within MK, around which the others rotate and from whom they take direction, even if it's haphazard or not, trying to be sort of diplomatic, there's a central point. Should something happen to him for whatever reason, talk about fiefdoms and factions. If we think those things are, I think, prevalent in parties like the ANC, you're going to see that come even more to the fore. For some of these individuals, the allegations against them, part of being closer in politics and being now in the third biggest party in the country is an element of protection from possible prosecution. But when you're also having to look over your shoulder within your own party, party coherence and priorities in terms of policies, engagement in parliament, playing the role of official opposition, those things are very quickly shifted to the back seat. So you then ask questions about the very feasibility of MK itself, never mind whether it's going to be a force going forward in South African politics. I think this was as of a few weeks ago. It might still be the case, but I think MK, of all the by-elections in which they contested, they only won one up until this point in time. So, what are they building in terms of capacity? You've got Floyd Jivambu coming in now, couched as one of the, if not the person who really helped build the EFF. If he comes in and has to now contest with these vying interests, let's assume that's his thing is about building MK into the organization. Could be very difficult for an individual like that as well.
Hmm. No, I think Floyd Jivambu has been appointed as the national organizer for MK since he came in. And of course, I suspect, although I don't know for sure what MK's internal structures look like, I suspect that he's probably basically going to have to start from scratch, which is a daunting task indeed, particularly in a party that's so fractious and chaotic as MK.
There's also, just a last point, there's the element of where it doesn't look as at any point there's going to be an elective conference. So it makes it then more malleable for individuals like former President Zuma to pick and choose and to make their decisions on a day-to-day basis, because there aren't proper structures to hold either him or others in the party accountable, maybe those who disagree with him about how the party is being run. So you continue to shift that burden, and I think you lose some of the momentum that you are, all credit that you now built into becoming the third biggest party in the country.
No, exactly. I mean, obviously, there are advantages to having a sort of autocratic style of your political party, which is that you're kind of all on the same page and you can punish factionalism very quickly. But at the same time, you really stunt the ability of anyone to do anything except suck up to the leader. And if they don't hold proper competitive electoral conferences and things and just, Zuma makes every single decision as per his whims, I think the party is going to seriously be crippled as an organization, is never really going to get off the ground. Okay, very briefly, let's just go to a story overseas, which, this may not mean a huge lot to our listeners in South Africa, but I think this is something that needs to be talked a little bit more about in media in general. And that is what's happened in Afghanistan. So, of course, it's been, 3 years since the chaotic U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan and the collapse of the Republic of Afghanistan and the takeover by the Taliban. At the time, there was some hope and some speculation in some parts of the international media that the Taliban had perhaps moderated a little during their time in exile after the U.S. had driven them out of government in 2001 with their invasion of Afghanistan. Unfortunately, all of those hopes were very quickly dashed, and things have gotten to their worst point, I think, very recently. So the Taliban government has done all sorts of terrible things to the people of the country. It has banned women from working, including foreign NGO workers, many of whom are in the country, to try and prevent famine breaking out as the economy has all but collapsed. And last week, the Taliban issued a number of new laws which are extremely controlling of Afghanistan's women. Women are not allowed to show any part of their faces whatsoever in public. Their voices are considered intimate and therefore are not allowed to be heard by non-family members in public. Unmarried, unrelated men and women are not allowed to look at each other in public. And all media which depicts living beings has been banned, which effectively will make most video and photography illegal in Afghanistan. Chris, it's kind of horrifying to think that this is, you know, what a country in the 21st century, I mean, never mind the 21st century, at any time in history, these are incredibly restrictive laws, is going through. I mean, I think we South Africans, as much as we have things to complain about, there are some things we can be very thankful for.
Yeah, I think the most recent example for South Africa is just the formation of the Government of National Unity. Now, not to discount the strong ideological differences between some of the parties, but the speed at which this was decided upon, generally by parties who want to respect the Constitution, and what that says about one's worldview, the importance of the rule of law above the rule of man. Not saying they'll all always adhere to that, but there's generally that broad acceptance. Don't take that sort of stuff for granted. Like you mentioned, having this sort of thing in the 21st century, you know, there isn't this this deterministic march to history. It's up to the sort of choices that people make, and that ultimately has the most material impact on the quality of life and the kind of lives from a sort of a content of life point of view, not just for materialist sake, so higher quality of life, access to material goods, etc., but just your sort of experience of things like freedom of expression, freedom of religion. I think those, if you assume those are a given in your particular country or society, you might already be on the way to where those are slowly but surely chipped away at. So it shouldn't have to take this sort of thing to remind us, but what we do with that and what we take from it, I think, is vitally important.
Indeed, the gift of liberty is certainly very precious and it should not be squandered. So up to all of us to defend our freedoms and our constitution, our ability to live in a free society, because it is one of the most valuable things that we have. All right. Thank you very much, everyone. We hope that you found the show interesting, and we will see you tomorrow on The Daily Friend Show. Cheers, everyone. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.